Shanti, 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 peace. Good evening. It is an honor to be with you once again, to see you, talk to you, say my peace, and go home. Beautiful evening, nice breeze blowing. All is well. Everything's in its right place. There are no mistakes. And you're all divine spiritual beings, whether you like it or not. It has come to my attention that many of you are trying to stop your thoughts, control your thoughts. You cannot really do this. Trying to stop your thoughts is, as Ramana Maharshi says, is like a thief becoming a policeman to catch the thief. In other words, the thief that becomes the policeman will not catch the thief, because he's a thief himself. And so it is with our mind. When we use the mind to stop the mind will not stop the thoughts at all, because the mind wants to go on living. Stopping the thoughts is annihilating the mind. And the mind does not wish to be annihilated. The mind wants to live on. To fill you full of nonsense. Superstitions. Therefore, we do not try to stop thoughts. What do we really do? We do absolutely nothing. There's really nothing you have to do to make the thought cease. Always remember, when you do things according to the sadhanas you've learned, the spiritual exercises you've practiced, your meditations, your yoga, this will make you free for a couple of moments. And then the thoughts will come back to you at full force, knocking you over. You cannot stop the mind or control the mind with spiritual practice. Again, you cause the thoughts to cease by doing absolutely nothing, by being yourself. In all the scriptures we read, unless the mind stops spinning, there will be no realization, no liberation. Only when the mind stops, the thought ceases to be, is the liberation. Yet they use the word to stop the mind, to stop the thoughts. This is sort of a misnomer. Or again, you have to use the mind to stop the thoughts, and the mind does not want to do this. It does not wish to cease thinking. Yet by ceasing to think, you do acquire unalloyed happiness, infinite peace, divine bliss. When the thoughts do stop, these verities come forward and you become free. You do not have to watch the thoughts, analyze the thoughts, be the witness to the thoughts, or observe the thoughts in any way whatsoever. All of these symptoms simply make the mind stronger, really. Most of you have tried to stop your thoughts with various methods like these for many years. And if you look back in retrospect, you will see it made the mind stronger. It caused the mind to have more power. Thoughts hit you from all directions. This means we do not wish to use any method whatsoever to stop thoughts. Yet the thoughts have to be stopped. They have to cease. By doing absolutely nothing, the mind will begin to slow down. When you think you have to watch your thoughts, observe your thoughts, you're saying to yourself, I'm going to observe my thoughts, I'm going to watch my thoughts. You're using mind energy to do this, aren't you? You're using energy to stop the thoughts and you'll never do it this way. But again, if you do absolutely nothing, you just sit there. Doing nothing. The thoughts will get weak. Now really, no sage on this earth or anywhere else really stops the thoughts. As long as you see a body and you call that body a sage, there will always be some sort of thinking in that body, some sort of thought. For instance, I could be sitting here and I'll say to myself, when I go home, I'm going to eat a dish of ice cream. This is a thought. But what happens when I say it and what happens when you say it? When I say it, when I think, it is similar to a burnt rope. A burnt rope may appear to be strong, but when you pick it up, it turns to ashes. It's burnt, there's nothing there. When you say it, it's like a real rope, but it's not burnt. You give it energy, you give it power. Again, when a sage thinks of something, it is like a fin that has been pulled out of the socket. It's still turning, but there's no power. The power is dead, the power has been cut off. In other words, the thoughts of the sage are dead. The thoughts of the sage have no power. No power whatsoever. This is why they said a sage does not think. A sage has no thoughts. What it really means is the sage's thoughts are dead. When the thoughts are dead, you live in absolute reality. You live in pure awareness. When the thoughts are dead, you live in Satchitananda, in Nirvana. So what are you to do? To also cease the thinking so the thoughts can become dead? You simply do not attach yourself to the thoughts. By not attaching yourself to the thoughts, by not reacting to the thoughts, by not responding to the thoughts, they lose their power and begin to fade away. Yet to not give it any energy, not give it any power. You must say to yourself, I have to stop my thoughts. Do nothing like this. Just slow down. Slow down. Let the thoughts do what they may. Allow the thoughts to go their own way. Do nothing with your thoughts. Do not think about them. Do not fight them. And above all, not try to stop them. You may think this is sort of difficult, but it's not. It's like when you first wake up, before the thoughts come, you're still drowsy from sleep. And when the first thoughts come to you, you hardly pay any attention to them. That's the attitude to have. Do not pay any attention to your thoughts whatsoever. But when you say, I'm not paying attention to my thoughts, you spoil it. You're not to utter this, you're not to say this. Just to become this. As you begin to let your thoughts alone, not to pay any attention to them, not to be attached to them, you will notice something very interesting happening to you. You'll begin to notice that you're becoming very peaceful. Very calm. You become happy for no reason whatsoever. All of these dastardly things are still going on in this world. There's man and humanity to man. You have your own so-called problems. Yet you become happy, you become peaceful, you become blissful. This comes all by itself because your thoughts have slowed down. And you have had absolutely nothing to do with this. You have not slowed your thoughts down. This is an important point to remember. You have not slowed your thoughts down, not you whatsoever. For you are the mind. And you have not used your mind to slow down your thoughts. You have done absolutely nothing except to ignore your thoughts. Ignore the thoughts completely, totally, absolutely. Again, do not fight your thoughts. Ignoring your thoughts is not fighting your thoughts. Do not try to change your thoughts. Above all, do not try to stop your thoughts. Just not to attach to them and ignore them. The example here is, what happens to your friend whom you ignore? If you have a friend, and your friend is talking to you, telling you things, and you ignore your friend, what happens? Your friend will walk away. Your friend will go away, and that'll be the end of the friend. He or she will no longer be your friend. We have ignored them totally, completely. You have not scolded them. You have not lectured your friend. You have not been evil to your friend. You have just ignored your friend. Your friend will back away and go away. Because your friend gets no response from you whatsoever. This is how you are to treat your thoughts. Same way. It makes no difference if the thoughts are good or bad. They're both impostures. In reality, there are no good thoughts. There are no bad thoughts. We're not trying to replace good thoughts for bad thoughts for good thoughts and good thoughts for bad thoughts. We're just trying to leave the thoughts alone. Not to do a thing about them. I want to make this perfectly clear. This is the highest way to handle your thoughts. There's so many practices. You have Vipassana meditation. You have Pranayama. You have so many different methods to stop your thoughts. All of these methods are good to an extent. They make you sort of one-pointed. But they will not stop your thoughts. This is why people have been practicing pranayamas, breathing exercises, Vipassana meditation, even Zen meditation, and other forms of yoga, meditation, have been practicing for years and years and years and years and years. Perhaps they've achieved a semblance of peace, but they've not become liberated. Due to the fact of using methods, whether it's a koan, or it's watching your breath or your feelings, or whether it's changing your thoughts to something positive, whatever you've been doing, you're using your mind to do it. And your mind will always fool you. It will make you believe you're getting somewhere. You're becoming something great. But it's really the ego. It is the ego that is controlling the mind. And you are the ego. The ego trying to control the mind. So again, what do you do to stop the thoughts? Absolutely nothing. Now, why is the word nothing so important? You do absolutely nothing because in truth, everything is nothing. This is the reason you do nothing to stop your thoughts. In reality, there are no thoughts. There's no one trying to stop them. There's no liberation, there's no bondage. There's nothing. You're using the same nothing to stop your thoughts. You're doing nothing. Because you are nothing. Nothing plus nothing makes nothing. Can you see why I tell you to do nothing now? Because you're using your real nature when you do nothing. You are yourself. You are the absolute reality when you're nothing. Consequently, you're doing something to stop your thoughts, you're fooling yourself. Nothing will ever happen. But like I said, you will acquire a little peace. That's it. But by slowing yourself down, seeing nothing, hearing nothing, doing nothing, being nothing, your thoughts will stop completely, totally, absolutely. And as I mentioned before, you will feel beautiful happiness, peace of mind, bliss. You will be free. Practice this right now. Allow the thoughts to come whenever they are. Do absolutely nothing. It makes no difference what the thoughts are. Let them come. No matter how much they seem to frighten you, no matter how powerful they appear to be, let them come. where do the thoughts come from to begin with? They come from nowhere. They do not come from consciousness. They do not come from pure awareness. They do not come from the self. And where do the thoughts come from? From nowhere. They're an optical illusion. They do not exist. They're like the appearance of the sky on top of the mountain. The sky appears to be resting on top of the mountain. It's an optical illusion. Thoughts do not exist whatsoever. Therefore, you ask yourself, who's thinking? And you will find out the ego is thinking. So here's another point. When the thoughts flow down, so does the ego. The thoughts and ego are synonymous. As the thoughts flow down, the ego slows down and begins to also disappear with the thoughts. When there are no thoughts, there's no ego. When there's no ego, there's nobody left to think. Then the question you will ask is, how do I function without thinking? As I mentioned in the beginning, the sage's thoughts are like a burnt rope. They appear to be real, but they're not. In other words, your thoughts are not real. They are false. How do you function without thoughts? Very well, thank you. Many of you still believe you have to have thoughts to function. You think you'll become a vegetable. But you will be spontaneous without thoughts. You will be motivated by the self. You will know what to do, where to go, whom to speak to, whom not to speak to. Much better than you do now. Much, much better. Things will happen to you spontaneously. Everything we always talk about is very paradoxical. And the paradox here is, even though you have no thoughts, you will still think. about certain things. It has to be done. But there's absolutely no thinker alive. There's no thinker. There's no one left to think. You just still appear to be thinking about certain things so you can function. It's similar to what we were discussing on Sunday. People always ask me, what do you see? Do you see the world? Of course I see the world. If I didn't see the world, I wouldn't be able to function. But I see the world as a self. In other words, I see the world as images, unreality. Like in the movies, the images on the screen. I'm able to see the screen and the images at the same time. I see the reality and I see the images. So it is with the thoughts. The same thing with the thoughts. You appear to be thinking, but you're not thinking. This is a very important point to remember. You will think whatever you have to think about. But the source will be dead, like the burnt rope. Like the fan with the plug pulled out. But the blade is still spinning. Until they stop. Why do you want to do all this? For life passes. Pretty soon you become old. And you appear to die. Do you want to believe this lie, that you die? Did you get old? Is there problems in this world? This is all a lie. It's a mortal dream. Do not identify with a mortal dream. Know who you are once and for all. You are that which was never born, which is not prevailing, which can never die. You are that which is beyond all concepts, all reasoning, all thoughts. You are that which has always existed, as pure awareness. You are that which is neither female or male, which is neither good nor bad, which is neither right or wrong. Which just is. If beauty, joy, love, harmony, peace, bliss. This is your real nature. This is who you are. Why not accept this and become free? Right now. It all begins by removing your thoughts. Now you have an idea how to remove your thoughts. Get rid of your thinking process. You have to do it. You now know you have absolutely nothing to fight in this world. Nothing to fear. It makes no difference what's happening to the economy. It makes no difference if there are earthquakes, cataclysms, hurricanes. What if you have to do with these things? What if these things have to do with you? You are the source of all creation. In this gap that I give you between sentences, at that time you are in samadhi. Every time I stop talking, you are in samadhi. Feel your divinity. Feel your bliss. Feel your love. Feel the truth. Reality. clean yourself out. Feel all the karmas, the samskaras, all the things you've carried around with you for so many centuries, falling away from you, completely and totally. You are absolutely free right now. Absolutely free. Absolutely free.
thought inwardly, when I want to understand the thought better, I turn it into something real. And I guess I make it stronger, more like bars, keeping me in a jail. But I don't understand, where does the thought come from in the first place?
In reality, there are no thoughts, as I mentioned before. The thoughts are an appearance of the ego.
Some kind of an impression, some kind of a small understanding that's just very weak in the beginning. It's some kind of an impression understanding.
Yes, that's how it begins. The thoughts are like the body. It's an appearance. The appearance seems very valid, very real. But if you investigate thoroughly, you will see it's impossible for a body to appear. Just as it's impossible for thoughts to appear. Therefore, when you get rid of the thoughts, you get rid of the body. When you get rid of the body, you get rid of the thoughts.
I didn't understand that.
They both come together. Thoughts are part of the body. The reality of the body and the thoughts.
Is there like an emanation from the body?
Yes.
Some kind of a vibration?
If you had no body, would you have any thoughts? In order to have thoughts, there has to be a body.
Like the body is throwing off some kind of vibration that becomes a thought?
You can say that.
It must be a tension in the body?
Not a tension in the body, there's just a body and there are thoughts that have to do with the body. Whenever a body appears, there are thoughts that go with it. No thoughts, no body, no body, no thoughts. Out of the body experiences, there are thoughts of the out of the body experience with the soul. The person has an out of the body experience as the soul, there's the body, so to speak. That's all the body, it's all mental. It's all part of Maya, it's all part of mind.
Understanding.
The out of the body experience is simply another phase of mind. That's all it is.
So, please say that again.
Another body experience, the phase of mind.
Phase of
the mind. Remember that the Absolute Reality has no attachments whatsoever. The Absolute Reality has no mind, no body, no thoughts, no ego. The Absolute Reality is beyond comprehension. It is pure consciousness. It's beyond words and thoughts. So anything that you can imagine, think, or express is not that. And now the body experience seems very remarkable to some people, but it's still kindergarten, it's nothing.
So even though I have a little thought and I think, oh, this looks like a good thought, I want to understand it better, it'd be wiser for me just to ignore it and to hell with receiving any aid from it.
Exactly. Or if you give it any power, it will become stronger. You give it power by reacting to it, by believing it, by trying to change it or stop it.
And I get seduced into thinking that, oh, if I could understand this thought, this will help me do what I have to do better.
On the contrary.
And you're saying if I would just ignore the thought, the doing would happen without knowing why the hell I'm doing it, I guess.
You've got it. That's it, George.
Jesus Christ.
Time to call on the Lord.
wrong time of the year.
We think we're so important. Unless we think, unless we do, nothing will take place, nothing will happen.
Aren't most of the out-of-the-body experiences ego, acts of ego identification?
Exactly, yes.
Because what I've read about them, they always talk about meeting somebody of my family, my mother, my father, my grandfather down the tunnel, at the end of the tunnel. I am doing this and that.
Exactly.
I am watching the doctors try to bring me back to life.
Mm.
So it's all ego identification. I mean, to a great extent.
The physical plane, the astral plane, the causal plane, the mental plane are all out of the mind. Yeah, not you. They're part of Maya. They're part of the illusion of life. You are beyond that.
No matter how exquisite or how subtle it may be,
exactly.
That's the causal plan.
Exactly.
Still Maya.
Still Maya. It's all part of the mortal dream.
Well, part of my Maya is I have a job and I'm doing some things and I'm dealing with people and I'm dealing with paperwork. So in order to deal with this Maya called a job, don't I need to listen to those thoughts?
Who says that you will not be able to do your job without thoughts?
But that job is Maya, I suppose.
It's all Maya. You don't have the Maya that you need to take care of that Maya.
But if I push away these Maya thoughts, how will I be able to do the Maya job?
Who's saying this? Who's talking about these things? The Maya is talking about Maya. The Maya is talking about itself.
You're saying that I can do this Maya paperwork and people job and just ignore the thoughts?
Of course.
Look at these papers, and when I see a thought coming, analyzing what I'm reading, just drop it.
Do not think about that at all.
Is there any point to me looking at the paperwork?
If you want to keep your job.
Well, I understand what's on the paper.
You'll understand better than you can ever understand now. You will do what you have to do, and you'll do it quite well, and you'll be happy with yourself. Do not have the opinion that you are the doer. I'm telling you that has to do something. Just be yourself, and everything will get done. An apple tree does not have to worry whether it's going to grow apples or not. By its very nature, it grows apples. If an apple tree were able to think like us, it would die.
Hell of a fix.
And we start thinking, I wonder if I'm going to grow apples this year. I wonder if my apples will be green or they'll be ripe. Just by the very thought, it would destroy itself. So an apple tree just is. and his luscious apples. The mysterious power that takes care of this universe and this world and makes the grass grow, the sun shine just right to preserve life and maintain life. This mysterious power, the current that knows the way, is always in operation, will take care of you and your life in a much better way than you can ever do it by yourself. You have to trust it, have faith in the power that knows the way. Surrender to it completely and stop thinking. Another way to bypass all the things we've been talking about tonight, the thoughts, is through surrender. Surrender to the self. Total surrender. Total humility. For when you surrender, you stop thinking. True surrender, you give up all thoughts. Then you'll get the same result. When you begin to see and realize, you don't have to make anything happen whatsoever. There's absolutely nothing you have to make happen. The happening will take care of itself. And you either stop the thoughts from reacting to them or by surrendering. Mary, would you read the Ani?
For a Jnani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman, the continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Jnani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove but which cannot further deceive him till the time when after the decease of the body he wanders not forth but remains where he is and what he is, and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the jnani rests in his own essential nature, his own svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a jnani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Do we have any announcements?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, Mary.
This is a newsletter for new people who want information about satsang and everything else that pertains to satsang. The newsletter is free and it's on the table over here. It's very nice, I might add. It also has directions to Henry's place and Lotta's place where we go on Saturdays, which is very helpful for us. And also one other announcement that Howard would like to make.
Robert asked me to make a second announcement. Robert feels it would be it's a good idea if the devotees get together and live with each other. So if any of you have an interest in that, you can see me afterward, after the show.
Anyone else like to say anything? Well, it's time for prasad then. We have a bag of pears. It looks like peaches. Dry fruit. Nectarines.
You came close.
Pass it down.
There was some grapes that Jean brought.
the grapes. You can crush that nigga with the wine.
That's cool. Here, you all have some great, very good food.